In the 1960s, the Latin bossa nova and samba rhythms made their way to America, affecting both jazz and popular music. One of the first recorded bossa collaborations between Brazilian and American musicians was an album called Getz Gilberto. Recorded in 1964, this album featured saxophonist Stan Getz, composer, pianist, and arranger Antonio Carlos Jobim, guitarist and vocalist João Gilberto. This album marked the recording debut of Brazilian Astrid Gilberto, who at that time was married to João. Her work on that album was noticed by a lot of people. She became very well known for her recording of The Girl from Ipanema. We'll be meeting Astrid in just a moment, but first, let's hear that recording in which she sings along with João.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? Ah, beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes.
Thank you.
the 1963 recording of The Girl from Ipanema, which was on an album called Get Gilberto. We were listening to Astro Gilberto. That album was released in 1964. Astro Gilberto's newest album is called That Girl from Ipanema, and on it she does a new version of The Girl from Ipanema, which we'll be hearing in just a few minutes. Astrid was born in Brazil. She grew up in Rio de Janeiro and moved to the States in about 1963. For about the last 10 or 12 years, she's been living in suburban Philadelphia, and she's now my guest on Fresh Air. Welcome to Fresh Air, Astrid.
Oh, thanks, Terry.
I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the musical environment that you grew up in. You grew up in Rio de Janeiro, and what kind of role did music have in your life when you were younger, a teenager?
My mother is very musical, you know. She never became a professional musician or singer, but when she was single, she tells us that she used to sing in private parties and always playing. She played a couple of different instruments, you know. And so I was raised liking music and, you know, giving it more importance than most people. I didn't have any musical training except for 1 year that I studied a little bit of piano, you know, when I was in my early teens. Then, in my mid-teens, I met a group of kids my age at a party, and they were all very much involved with music, you know, and they were all amateurs at the time, but most of them very talented and very much involved with music. Most of them became big stars in Brazil, and you know, and I became part of this little crowd, and we used to kind of was like a little gang, you know, that we stood together, you know, instead of dancing, that was our thing, listening to music and playing and singing, you know. Most of the guys in the group played an instrument, usually guitar, you know. And in Brazil, people, I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to hear about it, but people are very relaxed, and every little party, some little group will sit on the floor with a guitar and somebody will sing, you know. So I was that somebody that sings, you know. And I was always requested to sing, and I enjoyed it. I used to get a little bit nervous, but yet I enjoyed it, you know.
What kind of material were you singing?
Well, at that time, again, I said in my mid-teens, the bossa nova was still not...
not invented yet.
Invented yet. And so it was like a Brazilian samba canção. It's a style of... Like ballads, mostly, you know. Then João Gilberto came along in show business, and he had one, his first record was a single called Chega de Saudade. It was a tremendous hit, and it was the introduction of this new rhythm and way of singing. You know, João is the inventor of this thing, which was not something, of course, that he invented overnight like a piece of machinery, but it was like the result of many years of research and playing, you know.
What kind of how is it picked up in Brazil, the bossa nova? I mean, can you compare it at all to like rock and roll in the States?
As a matter of fact, there was a lot of controversy because the Brazilian music up until bossa nova, the most popular music of Brazil was with singers that sing very loud and very dramatic lyrics, you know, like real Latin type of love stories, you know. the rhythm was totally different. Like I said, it was either the old-fashioned samba or samba canção, which is like a ballad, a slow samba. And when João started singing, there were many people that are opposed to that kind of singing. And of course, people that are not very sensitive to music would even describe it as out of tune, no voice, you know, that kind of controversy.
Yeah, well,
you know?
Some people consider voice to be someone who can really, as they say, belt it
right.
out.
Right. So, of course, he encountered all that kind of resistance. And but yeah, the young people, which until then only had American jazz to listen to, the youngsters were really not listening much to Brazilian music, you know.
You were listening
have
mostly
something.
To jazz then?
Oh, yeah.
Who were you listening to?
Jerry Mulligan, Chet Baker, Barney Castle, you know, all these jazz players from the States. And those were, you know, what the youngsters were doing, you know. They didn't have something to feel enthusiastic. They did not relate to this very loud type music, you know.
So Bossa Nova started getting played on the radio.
Yeah, so
a lot
as soon
too.
As the album, this record came out, it was, like I said, very controversial. But, of course, a lot of people started imitating it. And besides a lot of people imitating João's way of playing guitar and singing, there were also a lot of followers that not necessarily were imitating him but became influenced by his way, including very important composers like Jobim, who was very much influenced by João's style and has absorbed from him enough to influence his way of writing and songs, you know? So now he was writing already with this new rhythm and style of singing in mind, you know? So that was about the way it happened.
Well, maybe this would be a good time to listen to a recording that you recorded with João and with Antonio Carlos Jobim of Corcovado.
Corcovado?
Yeah.
I have to, you know, I don't expect you to know Portuguese, so don't feel bad. Corcovado, yeah.
Okay.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window that looks out on Corcovado. Oh, how lovely. Esse amor, uma canção pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela ver seu Corcovado, o Redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor. Thank you.
quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor.
Corcovado, from the Getz Gilberto record. Did I say that wrong again, Astrid?
Corcovado. Okay. The just the accentuation was in the wrong syllable, that's all.
Okay. Featured on that record was Stan Getz, João Gilberto, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and my guest Astrid Gilberto. That session was recorded in 1963, and that's when you had come to the States, but before you settled here permanently.
Yes.
Were you the liner notes talk about how Getz heard you sing and say, and he said, well, you know, she has to sing on the album. Is that how it was, that you hadn't expected to sing on it?
Well, yes. You know, it was something suggested by my ex-husband, João. You know, all the years that I was married to him, I always sang at home with him. We had many offers to appear professionally together, but I used to decline it because I thought it wasn't a very welcome idea by João, you know, at that time, that I should also become a professional, you know. And at that time, you know, women's lib was still not a way of living, you know.
That's very true.
And I don't have any frustrating feelings about it. It was just the way I, at that time, was a natural thing for me to submit to a husband's opinion, you understand? But I think from knowing that my talent rested with music, I think João at that point had decided that he was going to let me do it. You know, and one morning, just before he was supposed to get together with Getz to rehearse and go through some ideas for the album, he announced to me that he had a big surprise for me that day. And that was the surprise. I waited anxiously. I didn't know what it was. And that was the surprise. At a certain point of the rehearsal, João said to me, oh, I have to sing The Girl from Ipanema. And I did. And he said, you know, I used to be the translator because João didn't speak any English at that time, and I already spoke some. So I had to be the translator for this situation that involved me, you know. But that's what it was. João suggested that I should be part of the recording of The Girl from Ipanema.
That was the first
and
time
Stan
you
was
recorded.
Very, you know, receptive to the idea. That's what it was. That was the surprise.
Were you very nervous your first time in the recording studio?
Yes, very much so. It was my first professional work. You know, usually people work with a band and go through a lot of road experience before they go to recording studio. So with me, it was the other way around. You know, the studio was my first professional job, like a recording.
And the album really took off. I mean, everybody learned about you once the album came out.
Well, yeah, it was a bit of fate involved, I guess you could say, because it was the only track that I sing. Is The Girl from Ipanema in the whole album, you know?
Right, and then so, like, I mean, the opening of the piece that
so
we just
it
heard.
Was like something, in my mind, totally unpredictable. You know, I had fun doing it, and I enjoyed being part of it, but I had never envisioned it as becoming an important thing in my life or a beginning of a career or anything like it.
But it was. It became that.
Okay.
What did you have to start thinking about once you became really well known? This album won which award?
The Nares Award.
In 1965.
Yeah.
Bringing you still yet more notoriety.
Right.
What did you decide to do after that, you know, with your career in music?
Well, in the beginning, there was not too much a matter of choice. I was, in my personal life, going through a very difficult stage of divorce. I had divorced Joao, and I was, you know, it was more or less a job, a matter of survival, you know, just singing to make money, you know. Of course, my love and respect for music was, you know, like a bonus in the situation. Although at times it was also a problem, the fact that I was scared of stage, you know, of being on stage and scared of the whole scene, you know. But yeah, it became when I started to record my own album, you know. At that time, I was already more used to the idea of being a singer. And I was fortunate that the people I was dealing with at Verve, MGM, they more or less agreed on me doing anything I wanted, you know. I never had any limitations on my choice of material, who to record with, you know. So it was fun.
Let's listen to one of the recordings that you did with Verve. And we have next a recording of Meditation that is included on an import album that we have here in the studio called The Best of Astrid Gilberto. And I should say, when Astrid walked in and saw the album here, she said, "Oh, what's this? I've never seen this before." You said that happens to you all over.
Yeah, because some of these albums that I recorded in the 60s and up until early 70s are difficult to get nowadays here in the States. But in Europe and Japan, etc., they put them out as re-releases or as a, you know, best of or whatever, you know.
Okay.
So I always bump into some new album of mine, new old album, I'd say.
Well, from that best of album that Astrid bunked into when she came here, we'll hear her recording of Meditation.
Holding me near makes my loneliness soon disappear. Though you're far away, I have only to close my eyes, and you are back to stay. I just think of you, and the sadness of missing you is gone, and this heart of mine sings. Yes, I love you so, and that for me is all I need to know. I will wait for you till the sun falls from out of the sky. How sweet life will be when you come back to me. When you come back to me. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Meditation, as recorded in 1965 by my guest now, Astrid Gilberto. The recording that we just heard is produced really differently than the ones we listened to before from the Get Gilberto record. Who was your producer for that recording, do you remember?
Yes, Creed Taylor.
What was it like to work with him? Because he's, to my mind, pretty well known for adding strings and highly organized arrangements for singers and for instrumentalists.
Well, see, at that time when I was recording at Verve these albums, this one and a few others that followed this, I was very unaware of show business, you know, and I knew little, I guess you could say, about recording. And I did a lot of the producing without realizing that it was called producing, you know, which included choosing musicians, arrangers, songs, etc.
So you were able to choose Creed Taylor as...
No, I'm saying that these albums that I did with Creed, I was doing a lot of the producing myself without realizing, because Creed used to leave all these decisions to me, you know, in terms of really what album to do, how, with who, what songs, you know. Very often he would turn to me at the studio and say, what's the next song? He wouldn't even know what the next song was called, which was, of course, a freedom that I enjoyed very much, and I took it for granted. And I realized later on that at times it's not so. Sometimes you may find situations where the record company or producer may want to impose different ideas on you or somehow censor your ideas or so forth. But what I'm saying is not to take any credit away from him. I'm just saying that how come I did these albums? They were done mostly by my own choice, most of what's in the album and how it was done.
Did you want to record with strings?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can I ask why?
Because it's romantic. And a lot of the Brazilian music is romantic. I think strings are very romantic. Also because to me, it just fills in, you know, spots musically that are sometimes not so. With most up-tempo things, you know, strings are not necessary, you know. But I feel that in most ballad or romantic oriented songs, strings are very necessary.
How many albums have you recorded under your own name? You probably don't even know, because I bet there's ones. Yeah, we're talking about this.
Well, I don't know if you're
there's ones all over the world that
because
you don't even know
I
about.
I had recorded song albums in other languages besides English, but in the States I have recorded about 12 now. This is my 12th. The last one was my 12th.
And you've worked with a lot of different producers in situations of freedom and restraint.
Right. Yeah, well, fortunately for me, I'm a little bit hard-headed, and no one ever did that one on me, like to force anything musically on me that I don't accept. As a matter of fact, there was one album that I did for CTI, I don't know if you are familiar with, Creed Taylor, many years after he had left Verve, and he had his own label. And I assumed that he was still the same man that I used to know and that would give me total musical freedom of expression, you know. But for whatever reasons that he was going through at the time, he didn't, for my surprise. And at a certain point during the making of the album, there was friction, difference of opinion, and he wanted me to record two songs that I didn't like. And
do
I said, I won't
song?
Do that. You know, I guess out of resentment for what happened, I don't remember the names. But it turned out that they came out as instrumentals. Creed Taylor put them out anyway in the album, very much to my surprise, you know. But at least I didn't sing them. So you can tell that I'm hard-headed when it comes to what I want.
Let's talk a little bit about your new album, which is on a new record label called Image, and the album is called That Girl from Ipanema, on which, as we'll hear very shortly, you sing a new version of that of the girl from Ipanema.
Right.
It's a. Do you want to talk about your intentions with the album? Because The Girl from Ipanema, for instance, is a pretty disco version of...
Yeah. Well, this album is the first one in a few years. I haven't recorded for a while. And I had accumulated so many different ideas, different songs that I wanted to do, including some of my own songs, which I had never had the opportunity before to present them in a finished form. And so to me, that it was like a new approach to my music in many ways, you know, and like I said, mostly for having some of my own compositions. And the disco thing became more important than it was meant to be, only because it became such a, in a short time, from the time I recorded this album, which was, I started recording it in October of 77, and the time now when it has been released, the disco craze became like something that I did not know. There was no way to predict it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, there were a lot of people already into disco music when I recorded, but it was not such a widely spread craze, you know? But it was an experiment, and it was an idea that started with re-recording The Girl from Ipanema, which I think is a great song and that should be re-recorded by somebody. And I said to myself, well, why not me? And then from that idea, how would I re-record it? You know, of course, you can't repeat exactly what you have already done. And I don't believe in doing something just for the sake of being different, you know, unless you're accomplishing something interesting. And I thought that disco would be a natural thing. If you noticed, I don't know if you had, my phrasing is almost identical. And the tempo is almost identical.
That, yeah.
Because there is a certain similarity about a certain type, I would say, of disco music. Because there's already, like, I guess, a few different types of disco music. But there's a strong Brazilian influence and like a samba beat to a lot of the disco music. And I guess that's what, to me, like a natural way of hearing it, you know?
Well, let's hear it now. Let's listen to it. This is a recent recording of The Girl from Ipanema on a new album called That Girl from Ipanema, which is an album by my guest, Astrid Gilberto.
Each one she passes goes, ah.
a new recording of The Girl from Ipanema by Astra Gilberto. It's from a new album of hers called That Girl from Ipanema. Astra Gilberto is my guest, and I'd like to remind you that she's a neighbor. She lives in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Well, we were talking before, Astrid, about the producing, of this record, it being a disco-influenced record. How was it produced? Were you involved with that at all?
Well, I produced it.
You did produce it?
Yeah, I produced it. Finally, I learned, to get credits for what I do, after all these years. Like I said, I many times did at least partially the producing of my own albums, and I just was inexperienced and naive, and I didn't know that you're supposed to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm producing this, But this time I was fortunate to have given the opportunity, it does four things that are disco-oriented. This one that you heard, The Girl from Ipanema, there's a song that I wrote, and there's a Brazilian song that if you ever have the opportunity to play, I would say it's interesting because it's called Black Magic. It's a Brazilian disco-oriented thing,
Well, we can hear that
and
a little later.
Right, and I wrote some English lyrics for it. And the rest of the album is, just songs that I like to do, and one of them with Chet Baker.
Which we'll be hearing in just a couple of minutes. Do you sing in clubs a lot, Astrid?
I used to at one time, but it was painful, because I'm a little bit shy and kind of stage frightened, and singing on in a club for me is more of an emotional strain than in a concert hall, because I think first there's an added stress, emotional stress, which is that you're afraid that somebody will make a noise or disturb your performance. And secondly is that it's just that thing where you see the people, and I find it difficult to concentrate on just being cool when the reality is right there, these faces looking at you, So I kept doing them in hopes that I would get used to it, but I didn't get used to it, so I decided that the best for me was to avoid singing in clubs. So I just limit myself at this point to do concerts when I have a chance, TV, recordings, etc.
Do you sing a lot when you're at home? I mean, if you have an instrument, then you kind of formally practice, I guess, more perhaps than when you're a singer, though I guess that's not necessarily true. But if you're not singing frequently at clubs, do you sing either for pleasure or just to keep your voice in shape on a day-by-day basis?
No, not day-by-day basis. Once in a while, I feel like singing, and I don't play an instrument, unfortunately, so I wish I did, but I do have playbacks that I can sing to if I feel like it, or if I have... My son already plays an instrument. Sometimes I may sing with him or something.
That would be nice. Let's listen now, in a couple of minutes, to a piece with you and Chet Baker in which he sings. Now, you mentioned his name before in reference to the musicians that you listened to when you were young and in Brazil.
Yeah, well, Chet was one of my idols when I was in my late teens, and for me it was like if somebody at that time had told me that one day I was going to record with him, I would never have believed it. It was I was talking to the executive producer on this album about the possibility of doing it with Chet, but almost like hopeless, that it would be something feasible. I said, gee, I would like to record the song Far Away with Chet Baker. And he said, well, I don't see why not. Chet has just finished an album at A&M, coincidentally with the arranger that was going to arrange the song anyway. So it was like a little bit of destiny involved, and then the next step was I was talking to him on the phone, and he was very excited about doing it. So for me, it was like a dream come true kind of thing.
Well, great. Let's hear it. This is a piece that was written by Astra Gilberto. It's called Far Away, and singing is Astra Gilberto and Chet Baker.
away. You seem so far away. When it was only yesterday that you were all so close to me.
So close that every sigh was like the whisper of a lover's lullaby. The way the ocean hugs the edges of the sky, as close as we could be.
But now you're far away, so far away, you're like a distant star away. And even though your hands could touch me if they tried, when love has died, what more is there to say?
I only know you're so far away.
You're long ago, so far away. Love has died, what more is there to say?
I only know you're all so far away.
You're long ago and oh, so far away.
Oh, so far away.
Far away, so far away.
Far Away, the music was written by Astrud Gilberto. The lyrics were written by Hal Shaper. Singing with Astrud on that recording was Chet Baker, who was also featured on trumpet. That's one of the songs featured on Astrud's newest album called That Girl from Ipanema. You were talking a little bit about the composing of that song, Astrud.
Yes. I wrote it about 3 years ago, and I don't play much of any particular instrument, but if I sit down and work hard enough, I can figure out the notes and chords. And I struggled a little bit because I had this music in my head, you know, and I managed to translate it into a little organ. And to hear it then, the way I was playing, and to hear it now, the way the final product with a beautiful arrangement by Sebastian with Chet Baker, it was like a thrill to me. It was like having a baby almost.
You're writing more material than you have ever had before, yes?
Yes, I'm taking an interest more than ever in writing songs. You know, I never had much, I felt very insecure about writing, showing my songs, especially lyrics, you know. And so when I in this album I recorded a song named All I've Got that I wrote music and lyrics, and another one called We'll Make Today Last Night Again. And I got, while I was recording, a lot of encouragement, you know, from my co-workers, and everybody liked the lyrics too, you know, and that was like so encouraging, you know. I say, hey, I know how to write, you know, why didn't I do that before? So now I feel more confident in my abilities, and I'm very enthusiastic. I'm already working a few other songs, you know, for the future.
Do you think that the last 15 years or so that you've spent living in the United States has affected your taste a lot in music or your singing style at all? You were talking before about how your phrasing, the key is probably different, but your phrasing and the tempo of the new recording of Girl from Ipanema, as far as the way you sing it, is very similar to the way you recorded it in 63. Though the arrangement that you've chosen is completely different.
Well, like I said before, I believe I said something in, I don't believe in doing anything with an intention of being different, you know. So whenever I hear, for instance, to my latest recordings and some of my earlier recordings, I hear a difference in, I shouldn't say style, because that I don't think I changed that much, but a difference that it's not even, you know, fair to say, especially for myself to judge about myself, if it's better, worse, or, but it is a slight difference, and I believe it's just a natural thing that happens with maturing as a person, feeling perhaps a little more secure and confident and more relaxed at the studio, things like that.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Sharing your thoughts and your music with us. We're going to close the segment with another recording that's featured on Astrid's newest album called That Girl from Ipanema, which is on a record label called Image Records. And this is a piece called Black Magic, which you started to say a few words about before. Do you want to tell us about the writing
of this?
How I
found the song? Yeah, I was in Brazil in 1974 riding in a taxi, and the driver had the radio on, and this song came on, and I thought it was tremendous, you know, and I immediately made a decision that I was going to record it. And then I decided that it would have better exposure, it would be more successful here in the States with English lyrics, so I wrote some English words for it myself. But I kept the feeling very similar to the original thing I heard. It's called Black Magic.
Okay, let's hear it. Astrid Gilberto, thank you very much for joining
us
this afternoon.